Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. In verse 5 it says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you this evening as we gather in thine house. And Lord, to be reminded that we are an heir of the Most High God. And Lord, we come with hearts full of thanksgiving, knowing what you have done for us in Christ. That it was through Christ that we became sons of the Most High God. That we've been adopted into the family of God. And then to be blessed even with an inheritance and become heirs. And so, Lord, we are thankful for what you have done. And Lord, we pray that you would cause us to be mindful of this, that we might walk in that way that is well pleasing unto you, Heavenly Father. That you would remind us of the future blessings, even if you heard this morning in Sunday school, that future inheritance, O Lord. And so, God, bless thy word this evening. For we ask it in your blessed and holy name. Amen. So again, we come to Galatians, and if we continue to cling to the book of Galatians, this will be part 38 in our study. Last Sunday night, we focused mainly on the doctrine of adoption, as the Apostle Paul made it very clear that there is no longer any difference between Jew and Gentiles in Christ, for we are all one in Christ, that we saw at the end of chapter 3 of Galatians. And therefore, if we are in Christ, he tells us that we are what? Abraham's seed. And if we're Abraham's seed, then we have been blessed with a glorious assurance of being adopted into the family of God and become children of the Most High God. Paul has shown clearly that we are made children of God through salvation in Christ. And that the blessings of this salvation is that, again, we have been adopted into God's family in Christ Jesus. And other verses to substantiate this blessed truth of being adopted as children of God, I just read them to you. In Romans 2, verses 15 and 23, it said, For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Ephesians 1:5, that we spent some time last week, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Then, of course, our chief text here in Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And I guess the best way that we can say that if we receive all these blessings, that we will be called sons and daughters of the Most High God, which puts us into the possession of a heavenly treasure that is ours because we are heirs of God, yea, joint heirs with Christ. We also said last week that the teaching and doctrine of adoption is one of the most blessed, consoling, and comforting and encouraging truths in all of Scripture, because it makes us realize that we are in Christ, we are sons of God. We've been adopted into His family and being in the family of God. And we said this also from the perspective that, well, most children of God, they understand that when God saves us, it brings the blessings of the forgiveness of sins. It brings that unbelievable deliverance from divine justice and condemnation. And then we sometimes focus too much on that unwillingly at times do not comprehend the blessing of adoption as one of the priceless crown jewels of God upon the crown of salvation. And so we're so thankful for the doctrine of adoption. Again, the Apostle John tells us so clearly there in 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And so, again, what a joy and blessing to be considered, I am a child of God. That we can say this morning, I am a son, I am a daughter of the Most High God. Again, as John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen and amen to that glorious truth. And if we recall, even the Lord Jesus Christ would tell us there in John 1:12, but as many have received Him, to them gave He power to become what? The sons of God, even them that believe on His name. And so again, what a joy, a blessing to be received and admitted into the family of God. I mean, what a blessing to have God as our Father. Again, notice the words there in Romans 8. I'll read it to you in verse 15 through 17. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And again in Galatians 4, 5, and 6, basically says the same thing, that we cry unto God, Abba, Father. And of course in verse 7, that we become heirs also. And last week, we saw that in Christ we have a new Father, we have a new family, and we have a new freedom. And we spend the whole time also to see something of that blessed application of Abba, Father, and the doctrine of adoption. That as we move into our next point in Galatians 4, I also wanted to consider one more thing in these first seven verses. And that is, again, as adopted children of God. I love the way Paul concludes this doctrine of adoption, as it includes the glorious, precious truth of that inheritance that is ours as heirs of God. Notice again, I want to reread our text there in Galatians 4, 5 through 7. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Again, God has redeemed us. We have also been adopted into the family of God in Christ. We have been made sons and daughters of God. God has what? Given us His Spirit so that we can cry unto Him, Abba, Father. And now we are told what? That we are no longer servants, but we are a son. And the blessing is, I love that, and if a son, then his concluded statement, then an heir of God through Christ. And so I think that Paul concludes powerfully his last statement in the first section of Galatians in verses 1 through 7, where he says, we're no longer a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And notice how verse 7 begins. If you wish, he says, wherefore, or if you wish, therefore. The word therefore is the consequence of this blessed privilege of being in Christ and being put into the family of God and calling God our Father, yea, Abba, Father. That is, we who are Christians, again, are no longer servants. That is, we no longer live in servitude and bondage to sin or to the world, bound in awful religious ceremonies, but as a son. We are now sons before God. And look what it says in the middle of verse 7. What a blessed but. He says, but a son. And if a son, the glorious consequence of being adopted, an adopted son of God, then. And so this then, again, is the logical conclusion, the consequence of the but in the middle of the verse. Then. He says all this for the purpose to say, then an heir of God through Christ. And all of these blessings are because we have been redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and now we are entitled to the privilege of a son, thus an heir of God. And again, I love the way Paul phrases it in Romans 8. I would like to read it again. It says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I like what James Haldane says in his commentary in Galatians, making his point regarding Galatians 4:7. He says, quote, through union with the only begotten, the believer is adopted into God's family. He is no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. In this world, however, he receives only the earnest of his adoption. The adoption itself includes the resurrection from the dead, having our body fashioned like to Christ's glorious body. Hence, the believer is represented as waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption, but those that sleep in Christ Jesus shall be raised incorruptible, and those who are alive at the coming of the Lord shall be changed and possess the promised inheritance forever, unquote. And so we see again that we have a glorious promised inheritance given to us because we're sons of God, adopted children, and heirs of God. And so what a blessing. When you think about it, what is given to us at salvation. I mean, you think we are totally forgiven of all our sins, our past sins, our present sins, our future sins, everything totally forgiven. We have been redeemed. And because we've been redeemed, we are now what? Reconciled to God by the blood of Christ. And in the blessings, God gives us His Spirit. God gives us His Word. We are made sons of God through adoption, and therefore an heir of God through Christ, and we are given a glorious inheritance. I mean, how can we not rejoice in the salvation of our great God? We've been so blessed in the grace of salvation. We've been so blessed with such precious things that in reality, we are not worthy of any of it. I mean, how can it be that God would save such a wretched, worthless sinner such as myself? And then to be made an heir of God, yea, a joint heir with Christ. I can assure you, my dear brothers, this evening, that we have gained more in salvation than what we lost in this thinking world when God saves us. So let us spend the remainder of our study this evening and speaking on the blessed subject of being an heir of God. Well, an heir is one who is a recipient of an estate, which is called an inheritance. As adopted children of God, we have a spiritual estate. We have a spiritual inheritance that shall never, no, never, ever be lost. John Gill tells us here, quote, such as are the children of God, they are heirs of God Himself. He is their portion, an exceeding great reward. His perfections are on their side and engaged for their good. All His purposes run the same way, and all His promises belong to them. They are heirs of all the blessings of grace and glory, of righteousness, of life, of salvation, of a kingdom, of glory, and shall inherit all things and all through Christ. He is the grand heir of all things. They are joint heirs with Him. Their sonship is through Him. And so their heirship and inheritance, their inheritance is in His possession. It is reserved safe in Him and by Him, and with Him they shall enjoy it, unquote. And so again, knowing full well that we have the precious promise of God, that He has given us an inheritance, and it is ours, and we shall experience that one day. Now, the Greek word for the word heir in Galatians 4:7 is kleronomos. And that is a compound word from keras, which means a lot, where lots were cast or drawn to divide property, like in a family. And then from ninomai, which means to possess in order to distribute among themselves. And when combined, it refers to one who has obtained a lot or a portion, which is also called an inheritance. And so it also speaks of one who receives something from another as a possession, or if you wish, like in insurance terms, a beneficiary. It speaks of one who received his allotted possession by right of sonship. Therefore, this Greek word, kleronomos, indicates a legal distribution of possessions or lots to its rightful heirs. And in Greek culture, possessions were passed to any person that was named in their will. But to Jews, however, an inheritance was reserved for one's children. And I believe this is how Paul applies it here in Galatians 4:7. And therefore, an heir is one who receives an endowment from a parent or a predecessor. Vincent, in his Greek word study, says this. He says, quote, "An inheritance is originally a portion which one receives by lot in general distribution. In the New Testament, the idea of chance attaching to the lot is eliminated. It is a portion of heritage which one receives by virtue of birth or by a special gift," unquote. And thus, because we are children of God, we are now what? Heirs of God through Christ. And this inheritance can also be seen eschatological, okay, in its application. But it is also at the same time present to us in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 3:6, again it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And we know that the Lord has taken away everything that had to do Jews and Gentiles, and he had made the twain one. And so now even the Gentiles would be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And therefore the believer's heirship is not just merely future, but is also a present reality. In other words, it is present to us right now. Okay? We have the right as God's children, this inheritance. But then we have that hope of looking forward one day to what? To the full possession of that which already we possess in Christ. It reminds me of, remember the Jews in the Old Testament who looked forward to the promised land. And lots were given to the 12 tribes. They went in and they took of those lots. And in Christ we shall receive a greater possession, that is a heavenly Canaan. And thus, as joint heirs in Christ, we are partakers of this heavenly inheritance. Heirs is then used by Paul to denote one who obtains something assigned to him along with others. And the focus is that one day we will inherit our blessed inheritance that is in Christ Jesus. And what does this do? It gives us hope for the future. And therefore, the heirs of God are those who will receive the blessings that God has for his people. I love what Spurgeon says here. He says, quote, "Oh, this blessed co-partnership, this fellowship of joint heirs with Christ, taking part in the whole heritage, as well as the heritage of suffering, as the heritage of glory." And where it says that it shall bruise thy heel, but thou shalt bruise his head, there is to be a heel bruising for Christ as well as for us, but there is to be a head crushing of sin and Satan for him and also for us also in the future, unquote. And so as children of God, we have that glorious possession and right of the inheritance which flows from the blessing of what? Of adoption. And therefore, we have this glorious inheritance that comes to us. But this inheritance does not come to us by means of any type of blood relationship. Remember, most Jews thought just because they were Jews and they had that blood lineage that they had the insight. But what did Christ tell them in John 1? Again, he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were both which were born, excuse me, not of blood. There it is. We're born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And again, this inheritance does not come through a blood lineage. It doesn't even come to any type of denomination of our day. It's not by feeling. It's not by good works or any merit. None of this. We are given the inheritance by God only and solely through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, wherefore, thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Again, in Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And therefore, we have the right of an inheritance that flows from the means of our relationship with God. We are the children of God. We are adopted children of God. Then, therefore, we are true heirs in Christ. And as children of the Most High God, we know that we have an inheritance that belongs to us, that belongs to all the sons of God in Christ. And to understand that not even death shall deprive us of this blessed inheritance. As a matter of fact, death is what's going to finally bring us to our blessed possession of this inheritance. And I remind you again, if you name the name of Christ, the best day of your life is the day of your death. Why? Again, it will usher you into the glories of heaven to be with Christ forever and to receive those eternal possessions of that glorious inheritance. James Smith says, quote, in God's family there is no death, because Jesus told us, because I live, ye shall live also, unquote. And so this inheritance, it is sure, it's steadfast, it is absolute, it will never change. This inheritance in the kingdom of God was prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And to think that it was our Father's good pleasure to give it to us, and better yet, to know that our inheritance is reserved in heaven for us and kept by the power of God. And therefore, at death, we shall finally be put into possession of it. What a blessing of what awaits us when we die. These are the promises of God given to His children. And He gives us that great hope that it should cause us not to walk by sight, but by faith, because of what God has in store for us. Paul says, I have not seen, ear has not heard. We really don't know what it is, but I can tell you it's going to be better than anything that we could have in this earth. You know, you think about that. There are not too many things that are certain in this earth. But we can be very certain of this truth, that as adopted children of God, we have been promised an inheritance. And because of this, we shall possess it one day. And this is made sure and certain. How? By the promise and oath of our God. And it can never, no, never, ever be revoked. It cannot be disannulled. It can never be lost. It will never be changed. It is secured for us in our beloved brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is ever dethroned in heaven, then our inheritance is lost. But we know that Christ shall never be dethroned. No, no, not ever. And so, it's not an issue that we hope someday or we cross our fingers. No, no, we know. As Paul would tell us, I know. I know that it is thoroughly secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. For I know, I am fully persuaded that He is able to keep that promise of my inheritance. And therefore, as Paul has said there in 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I believe in and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And these are the promises that we have of God to give us that certainty, that sureness in our heart that we have this blessed inheritance. And I remind you again that we do not obtain this inheritance by any good word, by any good deed, by any merit, by any gold or silver or even this, our American dollar bill. No, no, no. We come to it through a blessed relationship of being adopted children of God, therefore heirs, yea, joint heirs with Christ. Again, what a blessing of what Paul says there in Romans 8:17, that we're joint heirs with Christ. James Smith again says, heirs of his promise, for to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Every promise and every promised blessing belongs to the children of God. Heirs of his mansion, heaven is our Father's house. There are many mansions that are being fitted up and prepared for the reception of the heirs as they come of age. Heirs of his kingdom, which he has promised unto those who love him. The kingdom of grace on earth, the kingdom of glory in heaven. Heirs of God himself, for he himself is our inheritance. We have a saving interest in his glorious nature and all his sublime perfection. God, with all his immense wealth, is ours. With the prophet we say, God is my portion, therefore will I hope in him. With the psalmist we may sing, the Lord is my portion and my inheritance and my cup. You, Lord, maintain my lot, unquote. I think he had a grasp of what he really believed, that inheritance that we have in Christ. And then, if we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And so, one day, we shall be glorified together with our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul also tells us toward the end of Romans 8, when he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And thus, to be glorified in Christ would include the blessings of entering into the joy of the Lord, sitting down with our blessed Lord at his table in his kingdom. And therefore, if we are children of God, we shall be treated as sons. With what? With a full inheritance. But for the moment, we must live upon this earth. And our God requires us that we believe all his promises without question, to obey them, to obey his word, and not to be complaining, but to follow him with all our heart, strength, soul, and mind, and to love him in such a manner. And to also submit to his leading providence, whether providence mouths upon us or providence frowns upon us, to follow him without murmuring and complaining, which again includes the aspect of suffering, which again, it says there in Romans 8, 17 and 18, and if heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, it shall be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we shall be revealed in us. And so there are many things that are not clear to us yet, but by faith we must trust and believe that he has revealed these precious truths to us in his word, and we lay hold of them by faith. And thus, as redeemed and adopted children of God, until we receive the fullness of the benefits of our inheritance, again, we must walk by faith and not by sight. We must walk in love, in true obedience. We must love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Again, James Smith says, quote, if the Lord treats us as sons, we shall share with Christ, and as Christ, look at his life, and as in a mirror, you see yours. What Christ was, you must be. Therefore, be not surprised at sorrows. What Christ is, you will be. Therefore, anticipate glory. Our elder brother, he trod the road before us, showing that the journey is practicable. He took possession of the inheritance, showing that eternal life is certain. Union to Christ ensures suffering even now, but it ensures glory in the future. We must be like Jesus. We must pass through the same experience God has predestined. We pray for it. Our eternal welfare demands it. We must drink of the cup of sorrow, but before we drink the cup of joy. If we are united to Christ, we shall be conformed to Christ, both on earth and in heaven. Unquote. And so the promises of God to us in His Word are, if I can use the term, are the title deed of our heavenly estate. So be careful how you treat this book you have in your hands this evening. You see, this book you hold in your hands is your title deed. You see, this title deed, the Word of God, promises that we shall soon be possessors of our inheritance. So by faith, take possession of it. Oh, my dear one, this evening, there is no title deed in the whole earth that has been written so clear and so plain and yet so solemnly affirmed and legibly signed in blood by Christ and sealed. Heavenly sealed. And guess what? You can read this title deed every day. Read something of it. Examine everything that it has to say for us. And guess what? As you read from Genesis to Revelation, there is no small print. There is no fine print. There is no contradiction. There is no misleading. It's not like you're going to die one day and then you're going to say, oh no, I didn't read that fine print in the Bible. Like some people do with conference. You go, oh my goodness, I didn't read the fine print. No, no, no. It shall never be like that, my dear ones. We can wholeheartedly put all our trust in this book and we can rest and know for sure, be satisfied that everything in this title deed we have, again, from Genesis to Revelation, we can rest, be satisfied with every page of it. This book, the Bible, is full of the promises of God and have been totally confirmed and sealed by that holy and solemn oath of God, so that all our fears, all our doubts, reservations, our questions, our hesitations, our uncertainties can all be put to rest, so we can have a full and strong confidence in being fully persuaded that what He has promised is yea and amen. We can say also, like Paul, at the end of Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and therefore nothing can separate us from the promised inheritance that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And therefore we can live like the blessed Old Testament saints, like Abraham. Remember old Abraham? God gave him a promise. And what did Abraham do with it? He believed it. Wow. We can live and die like Abraham. You remember what it says there in Hebrews 11:13? It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off. They were what? Persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And so, do you see your inheritance afar off, even though we have not yet received it in its fullness? And if so, then let us be persuaded, my dear ones, this evening, of our inheritance. Let's confess it. Let's embrace it. And then confess also that we are truly pilgrims and strangers upon this earth, because one day we shall receive that promised inheritance and we'll realize that we were just strangers upon this earth. Again, I love what old Peter says there in his epistle when he says, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively home, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What did they say? To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that faded not away. Don't you just love that? Here on earth, sometimes an inheritance can be corrupted. It can be defiled and it can fade away. But not in heaven, my dear ones. It is kept for us to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that faded not away, and better yet, what? Reserved in heaven for you. How glorious is that, my dear ones? And who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. And thus, the grace of God ordained our adoption and the subsequent inheritance. And thus, this adoption brings us to a glorious heirship in Christ. We owe everything to the grace of God, the free and sovereign grace of God. Grace given to us also in eternity past through God's everlasting covenant ordained our adoption. In love, God sent His only begotten Son to purchase our redemption, and in effectual grace by the Holy Spirit produce our regeneration, and thus born again into the kingdom of God, into the family again, into the family of God, and become those who would be recipients of a glorious inheritance. Wow. And therefore, our salvation, our adoption, our heirship, it is so clear and so unquestionable in the Scriptures that again, Titus would say to us, or Paul to Titus would say, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which should be shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And what a blessing to know that this is ours, even this very moment. And so God, from eternity past, He prepared our salvation, yea, our adoption, yea, our heirship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, at verse 31, Matthew 25, verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, what? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a blessing. What a joy. This was not a, you know, something at the spur of the moment from all eternity past. All of these things that we have in Christ, given to us in God. Yet, we should be the most happy people upon this earth when we understand everything that is involved in our salvation. And so, what hope do we have, my dear ones? As David would say there in Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy faith in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. I can only speak for myself, but I can believe, I can guarantee you, you also will be satisfied when you die and go to glory. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. And so what a joy to be saved in Christ. What a joy to be an adopted son and daughter of God. What a joy to be in the family of God. Yea, what a joy to be an heir of God, knowing that we have an inheritance given to us in Christ. And so what a blessing to be an heir of God in Christ. And thus, again, Paul would tell us there in Galatians, Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth from nothing, from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What precious word to encourage us in our everyday lives of our inheritance that we have in Christ. Let's pray. Oh, glory to God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your mercies and your grace. And what a joy, Lord, to think of the manifold blessings that have been bestowed upon us. Oh, Lord, oh, that sinners would see this, Lord. And we know that in their lawless state, they're so blind to these glorious truths. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And I even think back when I was lost, oh Lord, never realizing that we could enjoy such blessed truths and experience great joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God, we thank you for sending your beloved Son, your great love for us, your great mercy, that you would send your Son to die upon the cross so that we might be saved, so that we might be made children of God, so we might be put into the family of God, that we might be born into your kingdom and being sons and daughters of the Most High God, also to obtain an inheritance, being an heir, yea, a joint heir with Christ. Oh Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Let us be a rejoicing people, thanking our God daily for what He has wrought for us in Christ Jesus. And so, God, we ask that you add the teaching of thy word this evening. For thy name's sake we ask. Amen and amen.